The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour One Podcast.
And we say hello to you on a Tuesday and another ticket punch for Omaha. It happened last night, Starkville, as Mississippi State in a do-or-die situation against Notre Dame. What do? They're gone. They're going, I should say, to Omaha. Notre Dame falls, gets bashed in the middle innings, and all is right again in Stark Vegas. So this is what it looks like. You got Tennessee, Vandy, and Mississippi State. State's been there more than anybody, more than the other two combined, although Vandy has a couple of titles. It's Tennessee's first appearance since 2005. Vanderbilt has, of course, two titles under Tim Corbin. Meanwhile, headline from around the world of college football, from Alabama to Notre Dame to USC. College football dynasties prove parity sounds better in theory than practice. That's from The Athletic. And we'll talk about it a little bit later on with Eliah Drinkwitz. Has been the talk of a lot of pundits this late spring, early summer. We'll talk about it a little bit later as well. Missouri football on the rise. You heard Barnhart here yesterday talk about how they could challenge Florida and Kentucky for the second spot in the SEC East. So we say hello to you again. Let's talk about what we are going to do today on this mid-June day. Let's talk about the guests, including Jerry Palm will join us in a couple of minutes, breaking down what is going to be the new college football playoff. We'll talk about that with Jerry, what expansion means and how it will level the playing field. Always great to hear from Ross Bjork from Texas A&M. Just hired a baseball coach, has a huge football season. Talk about CFP expansion, transfer rule, NIL. Later in the show, Tyler Horka. He's been covering the Bulldogs for the Clarion Ledger. He's moving on. He's now going to be covering Notre Dame. We will ask him if he hurt his head or something. And Stuart Mandel, as I mentioned, the editor of The Athletic, football editor. He'll join us on the Dynasty story. And your phone calls, of course, at 855-242-7285. And we look forward to talking to all of you on this Tuesday afternoon. Let's start in Mississippi, where there are a lot of happy Bulldogs. Ed starts it off. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. I talked to you yesterday, if you remember, and I told you that the people from Starkville do not forget about the national championship Notre Dame robbed us of 4 years ago in the last second when the girls beat us, right?
I remember that call, yes.
Well, all I can say is this, Paul. There's an old passage from the Bible that says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord." Well, last night it was Mississippi State's. Hail State, and we'll see you in Omaha.
Okay, Bonnie, let me check. Bonnie is up next, also in Mississippi. Hello, Bonnie.
You know what? I just wanted to call. Do you know who Lucy Harris was?
I have heard of that name, yes.
Robin Roberts interviewed her yesterday. She's almost 90, and she's the precursor. She's got a book out. There's a documentary, and she's they've anointed her the queen of college of basketball.
Well, I have to go. I will have to go back and watch that interview. Robin's a fantastic. Robin's from Mississippi, of course. You knew that.
Oh yeah, I mean, and her deal was, she grew up as a child. That was her hero. And the only other tag is, in the midst of calling Mississippi and talking about whatever else you and I can talk about, I saw this, and this is the punchline. Her coach was Margaret Wade.
Oh, really?
At Delta State.
Now, I do know that name quite well.
Because that's the name of the championship trophy.
Right.
I mean, and And they won three national championships.
Yeah, I mean, Delta State was really the first great women's basketball team. It was, they weren't even playing in what's now called the NCAA. I think it was the AIWW, whatever it was called. I mean, they won remember that.
Right. I mean, and the team that they beat, which is another team that nobody knows about anymore, was Immaculata.
Sure. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I covered a lot of women's basketball back then, especially in college. So I remember all these names, and you brought back some great memory. Well, thank you. I'll have to go back and see that interview. I missed it yesterday. Let's check in with Billy, who is on early on the program. Good afternoon, Billy.
Hey, Paul. This is Billy Young from Coleman.
Sure, great to hear from you.
I called you back 2 or 3 weeks ago and was giving Georgia down the country, you know, about how good they are and how great they're going to be. Well, I was so excited about getting in, I forgot about something. You know, the Atlanta Falcons blew a Super Bowl. I mean, just big time blew a Super Bowl.
I think a 28-point lead.
I wonder, yes, sir. I wonder if maybe it's just something in the water. You know, one thing about Georgia, before they win a championship, they're going to have to beat Alabama. And maybe that guy that left, that reporter that you're going to have on later, maybe he saw the writing on the wall, and he's going somewhere else.
Yeah, well, he covers Mississippi State, so I don't think he has to worry about missing out on a national championship there in football yet. Let's check out Tom, who is on the phone. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
Tom, we're doing great. Thank you.
I love your show. I watch it every day. And you know my history, so I don't have to go to that. My grandson lost his football game last week, but he's got 3 more years to play. He wants to go to Jacksonville State.
Right.
But my question for you today is, if passing don't make first-team quarterback, you think he'll leave Alabama?
I'm sorry, Tom. I apologize. I was hearing something at the same time you were asking. Who are you asking me about?
Tyson. If he don't make a first team quarterback, you think he'll leave Alabama?
Tyson. I don't know. I mean, right now I think Tyson. You know, his battle is going to be for the second spot. They have another really good quarterback there, and I don't know. If he falls down the depth chart, I would think at some point he would leave. Yes.
Okay. Well, I love your show, and thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Appreciate it. I think we get more questions about Paul Tyson than we do Bryce Young. Matt is up next.
How you doing today, my friend, Mr. Paul Feinbaum?
Okay, Matt. What are you going to tell me today? I've never heard before.
I wanted to finish my reasons why I think A&M will beat Alabama. I'm sorry I didn't get to finish them yesterday, my friend, Mr. Paul Feinbaum. The fourth reason why I believe Texas A&M will beat Alabama is because fourth reason is, Paul, they got to play, like, say, Ole Miss, Miami.
Hey, Matt. Matt, can I ask you a question?
Yes, you can, my friend.
Have you had a chance to look at the Texas A&M schedule?
Yes, I have looked at the schedule, my friend. I looked at it about, like, 10 different times.
Okay. Well, then answer me this question. What game is the Alabama game?
The game is October 9th, Paul.
It is the sixth game of the season for Alabama. What makes you think that Texas A&M is going to get past Arkansas?
Because Arkansas doesn't have a very good team coming back this year, and they have a tougher schedule than we do, Paul. I've looked at Arkansas' schedule.
Well, but I mean, you haven't been listening to these Arkansas fans, though. They've got a pretty good team.
Not as good as we do.
Yeah. Well, you may be. But Matt, the rest of the team may be looking ahead to that Alabama game and overlook someone.
I understand that. You overlook somebody is how you lose. But Arkansas has never beat us ever.
Hey, let me ask you a question, Matt. Do you think that Alabama even knows that A&M is on the schedule?
Oh, they know. Can you make me a promise, though, Paul?
Thomasville?
No, make me a promise.
Make you a promise. I can make you a promise.
If I meet you in College Station this year and you're down there, Paul, I want to meet – you ask your security people to let me through to meet you?
Absolutely.
That's how I was going to ask.
Well, Matt, let me make you a promise. If I'm fortunate enough to be in College Station this fall, and I don't know – I hope I am. You just plan on spending the whole afternoon there. How about that?
I will do that, Mr. Paul Feinbaum, my friend. I will do that greatly.
So where do you live now?
I live back in near outside of Fort Worth because, like I said, I'm doing the LearnRx thing.
Okay, so Fort Worth is what, about three and a half hours from College Station?
Yes, it is, Paul.
Okay. Well, Matt, give me some time. Right now, I don't know anything. But as we get close to the beginning of the season, I'll have a reasonably good idea of what I'll be doing and where I'll be going, and I'll give you plenty of time to know where we'll be, and we'll just we'll plan on spending the afternoon together during the show. How about that?
That sounds good with me, Paul.
Okay, Matt. Consider it done. And now I hope I'm. Hope I'm there. If I'm there, you will be there. Let's take a break. More to come. More from you at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
And we are back, and certainly a lot of conversation about the CFP. We'll talk to Ross Bjork about that a little bit later on, one of the most influential athletic directors in the country. Yesterday on this program, Mike Oresko, one of the commissioners who sit at these tables and meetings like the one going on later in the week, he's the commissioner of the AAC, and we asked him about where we all were with the CFP.
I'm happy. And I think our conference feels very good about what's happened. I got a call from someone who said, good day in the neighborhood, you know, and I think it was, you know, the day this was announced. You know, there's that Churchillian phrase, you know, it's not the beginning of the end, but it's the end of the beginning. I think it's, for us, it's been a long 8 years of struggle to try to, you know, accomplish something. And I think we're poised now to have a real opportunity that we didn't have before.
Sir.
We are doing well.
Good. Yeah. So my question, Paul, is with, you know, we talked about the college football playoff expansion. Do you think the SEC will expand from 14 to 16 teams? And if they do, what would be a few of the teams they would consider?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. And I think until last week, I would have given you an absolute no. There's no chance of it. But I think now there is about to be so much money pouring in to college football, especially with this new arrangement with ESPN, and then ultimately the CFP, that I think the door could be open at some point. It takes a long time to digest two schools, and I think if you doubt me on that, ask anybody at A&M in Missouri. It takes a while to change the culture, but I think that door is open now. The question is who. And I have always thought, and every time I bring this up, I get blowback, but I've always thought the school out there that wants in the SEC more than any other school. I'm not going to answer my own question. I'm going to throw it out there and see if anyone follows me on this. What would you guess if I had to ask you the most likely school or schools to join the SEC in the future? Where would you go?
Now, that's all I'm saying. Would you go mid-major? Would it be like a Memphis?
No. See, let me also offer this.
Would you go big?
Yeah. Well, 10, 12 years ago when this last occurred, the concept was go after schools that bring you geographical regions of the country. Now, why was that important? Because the conference networks were being developed. And like this network here, the important factor when ESPN went out to the cable companies and the satellite companies is they needed reach. Now, the cable industry is so different today than it was even 8 or 9 or 10 years ago. So I don't think that is not the most important thing anymore. It's not like, you know, get a school in Texas or get a school in Michigan. So you have to bring somebody in that does help you, though. Primarily, you know, with a name. Does Memphis bring you very much? Quite frankly, no.
No, I mean, I think you have to have a school that's going to not just help, you know, in football. You want them to help you in all your other collegiate plus academics. So
yeah, I mean, but remember something. Football is always the key. If you remember when this is amazing to think about, but when the Big 12 thought it was better than everybody else, well, actually, it was just Texas who thought they were better, and they were looking for a merger with the Pac-12, they were going to leave Kansas at home. And Kansas has one of the five biggest names in basketball history. They didn't care about Kansas. So always look at football first, and maybe, there's two or three exceptions to this. Duke would be the exception. Because of the basketball brand, but Duke's football program doesn't bring you anything. So I think you also have to look at places where you can get out of the contracts, and that's the hardest part.
Would you think that they would consider dropping a school if they could get a better school?
No. And hey, by the way,
I'm an Arkansas guy.
Yeah.
Born and raised in Arkansas, live in Florida now. But, you know, like last week, you know, Arkansas did the Arkansas thing and can't be an NC State team having the best team in college baseball. So, you know, would they drop an Arkansas or a South Carolina to pick up a Texas or an Oklahoma or a Clemson?
Yeah, somebody, I can't remember who it was. Somebody wrote an article the other day about Arkansas's 25 years in the or 30 years in the SEC, I can't remember who it was. It was an interesting article about some of the struggles, and you know what I'm talking about.
Oh yeah.
David Ubben from The Athletic wrote it, and I think Arkansas has fit fairly well. But you're not going to get rid of a team, a school, because I mean there are. When I was in my previous life as a columnist, we used to always joke. I would write, hey, maybe we should kick this team out, but that's not going to happen anymore.
Right. Okay. Well, I appreciate your time, Paul. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. But I will say this, and I'm going to let this marinate for a minute. 5 or 6 years ago, there was a school that opened the door to get into the SEC. I mean, I'm not saying there were some at least whispers about their interest, and nothing ever happened. But the schools that have vied to get in, West Virginia tried to get in many years ago, and the SEC rebuffed them. Other schools have, but you know, a school like Texas is not getting in the SEC. I mean, that's not going to happen, primarily because Texas can barely compete in the league they're in. Let's continue with Tommy, who is in Memphis. Hey, Tommy, go right ahead.
Hey, Paul, I'm an ex-baseball coach. I coached American Collegiate Baseball and high school baseball here in Memphis. I called you right before the Masters. And
I remember that.
About Jordan Spieth being Dick Groat's grandson. You just had a call from a guy that was talking about Margaret Wade at Delta State. Of course, I knew Boo Ferris really well. Great Southern gentleman he was. But What I was calling you about is I had a good friend that was actually, he was my high school baseball coach when I was a freshman at Millington High School. You still there?
Yeah, I remember Millington, sure.
And his name was A.C. Williams. Well, at the time, Margaret Wade was winning all those games, girls' games at Delta State. He was the boys' coach. And they would play the girls' game first, and they would pack the Coliseum down there at Delta State for the girls' game. For the boys' game, everybody left.
That is funny.
So they ended up flip-flopping them and playing the boys' game first and the girls' game second.
That is really remarkable.
His name was Alva Clyde Williams III. No
wow.
wonder they called him A.C. But anyway, I was a coach, and I worked for a little guy. You may have run across this guy. He was a scout, later became the scouting director for the Cincinnati Reds. I was a recommending scout for the Reds for 6 years under a guy named Julian Mock.
Yeah, I remember that name.
He was from Delphine, Alabama.
I do. Hey, back then, I mean, I used to run into scouts. I mean, what did a scout do back in the day?
Evaluated players as to what, you know, what they would be in a couple of years.
Okay.
And, you know, with pro ball, you know, that's what made it hard. We time players on, you know, in the 60-yard, in baseball, it's the 60-yard dash. Football, they use the 40-yard dash. And, you know, we look for power. We look for arm strength. We look for quickness, hands, footwork. I actually wrote a scouting report I was heavily involved in when Millington became the training site for the United States Olympic team in 1985. I was working for, and I wrote a scouting report on a boy named Ty Griffin who was like a three-time All-American from Georgia Tech. There was talk at the time that he was going to be the number one draft pick by the Chicago Cubs and play second base, and they were going to move Ryan Sandberg over to third. Well, my scouting report was that he would never play above double-A baseball because after I watched him practice for about a week, I said, this kid doesn't love the game. He just acts like he doesn't want to be here. And my boss, Julian, he wouldn't even turn my report in because I've got him down. If we've got an opportunity, we need to draft this guy. And I said, no, we don't, Julian, because I said he won't make it. And he wouldn't even turn my scouting report in.
What happened?
He played a little while in AAA, and that's as far as he got.
Obviously, you knew what you were talking about. Hey, Tommy, thank you. Let's talk again soon. We're heading to a break because we have a guest around the corner. We are off and running here on a Tuesday afternoon.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
So, a week after the news first broke that the CFP was expanding to 12, we're still trying to digest it. And that's why we have Jerry Palm on. Jerry has certainly watched college athletics for many, many years. His latest college football playoff expansion may surprisingly level the playing field, enhance the regular season. That's positive news. Jerry joining us. Jerry, first of all, good to have you back. How are you?
It's good to be on again. Thanks. I'm down 1-0 to France at the moment, but otherwise okay.
Well, it will be a long summer, Jerry. Calm down. So let's talk about the news that we're all still trying to figure out what it means. You've got an interesting take here, so have at it. What's your view?
Well, I think Primarily, it's going to make the regular season more interesting because more teams will be involved in playoff discussions throughout, you know, as we get deeper into the season. You know, lately, especially, well, you know, with a 14 playoff, by the time you get to November, you're really only talking about a half a dozen teams. And now, I mean, you're going to be talking about probably two dozen teams that still have a shot at the beginning of November at making a run at the playoff. So I just think it more teams involved, more interest in general, more games that matter. And I think you end up with a more interesting regular season. And then the thing that probably surprised me the most, other than just going from 4-12, which is a colossal leap by, you know, college football standards, is that Notre Dame got no special dispensation. You know, they've got to play from no better than a 5 seed throughout every time they make the playoff, no matter how good they are, they're no better than a 5.
And Jerry, let's expand on that, because I mean, everyone has a view on Notre Dame. Some people think maybe they came out okay. You know, maybe this leads to a conference. I mean, I can't quite figure it out yet. You're closer to Notre Dame than we are. Break it down for us, because I can't. I still can't decipher whether they made a good move or not.
Well, and, you know, their athletic director was on this subcommittee that put this proposal together, so he must be at least at some level okay with it. I mean, if he was really dead set against it, it probably wouldn't have made it. Notre Dame is in a unique situation, relatively as it's independent. They're only going to play 12 regular season games. By this playoff structure, the fact that they cannot get a bye means that they would have to win 4 games to be a national champion, which means that they're going to have to play at least 16 games to win a national championship, which would be true of the teams that get the bye. Those 4 conference champions will have played 13 games and could win 3 and be a national champion. So in that sense, you know, if they're capable of getting a bye, they could actually win the national championship playing only 15 games, and I think that's an advantage that they didn't want to give independents, but obviously Notre Dame in particular. So I think that's the compromise, is that by saying you can't be any better than a 5 seed, you have to go the full route. You're going to play at least the same number of games as the teams that get byes.
Jerry, why won't they get in the league? Have you heard a reasonable explanation? I mean, I know what I've heard in the past, but why not?
Reasonable. I guess it depends on your definition of reasonable, but they are, it's part of their culture. Independence in football is part of their culture. It's part of their identity. And it's going to take something more than this probably for them to give that up.
I mean, they seem partially married to the ACC. Could you ever see a day when maybe the Big Ten and Notre Dame could reconcile? I know there's some bad blood from the past.
Well, I think that the grant of media rights means that the only conference they can join until, I want to say, 2036 is the ACC.
Right.
So if they're going to join a league, that's the one. And if it goes that long, you know, who knows what college sports will be like in 2036. But I just don't see Notre Dame joining a conference anytime soon.
Because I'm trying to remember, maybe it's been a while, but do you remember, was it ever close with the Big Ten?
Well, there were discussions. I don't know about close. I mean, I don't know. I never believed it. I never believed that they were going to join the Big Ten in football or do anything in football other than remain an independent.
Talking to Jerry Palm, and speaking of the Big Ten, can you give us your view of the Michigan situation? First, the Schembechler allegations. They don't seem to be getting a lot of national conversation. We had a call yesterday trying to compare and contrast that to Penn State and other schools. You live in the Midwest. How is it playing there?
You know, it's not getting as much traction, I guess, as I would have thought either. And I guess part of the reason for that is, you know, Bo's not around to defend himself. You know, it's it's allegations of things that happened so long ago, you know, that the players involved aren't, I don't mean football players necessarily, I just mean the people involved in the story, many of them aren't around anymore. And I think that's why it's not getting so much traction, is that, you know, there are people around that can't defend themselves.
Do you think it's also I know that the Sun has made the allegations. I don't know. Has anyone else made any allegations other than the Sun? No, specifically about Bo, not about what went on.
I don't. The Sun has made allegations against someone. He's not the first, as I recall. He's not the first to have made allegations against the person in particular. But again, you know, and Bo Schembechler has been accused of being somewhat culpable in this.
Right.
If, you know, no worse than, you know, no more than turning a blind eye to what might have been going on. But again, Bo's not around to defend himself.
Well, but I mean, if you look at history, there a lot of people haven't been around to defend themselves over the course of history. That hasn't stopped them from being assailed.
Yes. No, that's true.
I mean, I'm not arguing with the jury, but saying that Bo is not around to defend himself is hardly a defense of what he is accused of turning a blind eye to.
No, I know. I don't know what proof they have, and you know, I don't know the story well enough to tell you for sure that this is gonna, you know, be some sort of long-lasting stain on his legacy. It may turn out that way, but this is. I don't think it's going to move very quickly.
We've heard Jim Harbaugh talk about Bo Schembechler, and even recently. What is the situation with Harbaugh up there? I know he got the contract extension, and the contract was slashed. The pay was slashed, but where does he stand with Michigan people, at least from your view?
Well, you know, they want one. That's something that he hasn't done. His teams have been good, and you know, obviously last year wasn't very good, but last year, I mean, I think you have to treat 2020 as an anomaly for almost everybody. But you know, his teams have generally been good, but they haven't done the one thing they hired him to do, and that's beat Ohio State. And I don't know that they're poised to do that yet, because you know, the recruiting's going to have to catch up with Ohio State, and that hasn't happened. So he may still be, you know, 10-2. And, you know, one of those losses is going to be Ohio State more often than not. But at some point, if he doesn't beat Ohio State, I don't care what his record is, you know, the fans are going to completely turn on him. And I wonder how long he'll be able to stay.
Why haven't they turned on him already?
Well, they have some. Yeah, they have some. You know, but 10-2 is, you know, 9-3. I mean, they've done reasonably well. And a 12-team playoff may really work out well for Michigan, because they'll make that at times. You know, and then if they can make playoffs and advance in playoffs, then maybe that's something that helps guys like Jim Harbaugh, who struggle, you know, to win their league because the best team in the conference is their rival.
And Jerry, finally, on the playoff, there are going to be a lot of winners. In your estimation, other than Notre Dame, which we've talked about, who is not being helped by expanding the field to 12?
The Rose Bowl, you know, it's the Rose Bowl, you know, is really deeply rooted in its tradition of Big Ten versus Pac-12. And if they don't get on board with this and become an active participant in this playoff, they could really get left behind and find themselves with, you know, games of teams that are no better than third place in their league year in and year out. And that's probably not something that they aspire to. So, They're looking at the loss of their traditional matchup and being something that they're not, and that's, you know, their identity is really steeped in that Big Ten versus Pac-12 champion matchup. I just don't see how that's going to happen in a 12-team playoff era.
Jerry Palm joining us from CBS. Thank you very, very much, Jerry. We're heading to a break. Much more to come on our Tuesday afternoon program, and we are getting to your phone calls right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
And we are back here on a Tuesday afternoon. Moses, lead us to the promised land. Hello, Moses.
Hello, Paul. How are you doing today, sir?
We are doing great. Thank you.
Thank you for taking my phone call. I really appreciate it. I've been watching your show now, Paul, for a couple of years, but today I felt compelled to call for the first time. And what I want to talk about briefly, if I may, is the excitement that Coach Eli Drinkwitz is starting to generate with the Missouri football program. He has come in here, Paul, and he has energized us in a way that I didn't think was possible. This guy has Missouri ranked number 7th in the SEC in recruiting right now, going in for the 2022 recruiting class, and number 14 in the country. Now, the previous regime, Paul, the problem was, I felt, and a lot of people felt, we could not get a coach in Missouri that could seal the borders properly. What I mean is, if you look around college football the last 10, 15, 20 years, the Missouri has, and especially the St. Louis area, has stacked other schools around the country with star players like Ezekiel Elliott, Lawrence Maroney back in the day, Steve Atwater. You know, you can never get a coach up there to make going to Missouri seem attractive to the home state kids. But Coach Drinkwitz has turned that around. I mean, he has people, man, I'm ready for the football season to start right now. That's what I'm talking about this guy.
Well, Moses, I don't know him. I don't know him that well, but he is like that though. He's got the it factor, and I think that's what helps him. And you know, I've said this a few times, but he's also hired an amazingly good staff, which that doesn't always happen for a young coach.
Yes, yes. I look at the guys that he has on the staff, and I mean, you look at guy Steve Wilkes was a former NFL coach of Arizona.
You're right, Moses. I'll tell you, I had lunch with Steve Wilkes about 2 months ago, and he is so impressive. He's such a calming influence. You also have Curtis Looper on that staff, who has been at Baylor and Auburn. And, you know, but yeah, Wilkes was the defensive coordinator for the Panthers when they went to the Super Bowl, and he was the head coach at Arizona. And I think what Drink has done, he's surrounded himself by really smart, experienced people. And, you know, at his age, and I'm not being disrespectful here, you know, there's a lot he doesn't know. But when you have that kind of personnel around you, it helps you immensely.
Yeah, he's in the process right now of trying to flip a big-time recruit who gave Oklahoma a strong verbal. But from what I've been reading, this kid is now starting to reconsider his choice of giving Oklahoma a verbal. I don't want to mention his name.
That's okay.
Because I'll be violent if I say his name.
No, that's fine.
But what I like about Coach Drake was more than anything is the fact he says his recruiting spiel, Paul, is when he goes into a young man's home, he takes a copy of the degree and a jersey, and he tells the young man and his family, I'm selling you two dreams. You're going to get this education because you're going to live a lot longer. They're going to play football. And if you're good enough, this football jersey will get you to the next level because, as you know, most of these young guys aspire to play on the next level. And I say, you know what, if I'm a parent and I hear that, that's palatable to me.
No, you're 100% correct. And, I mean, you have to find a niche. And I think he's done that. And I think he's very close to a big year. And I think this could be the year.
Well, you know what? I'm going to give him at least two more recruiting cycles before I feel that we will be a strong contender to take down Georgia and Florida in the SEC East, because he says, I came here to win championships and to play for the national championship. And, you know, I mean, that's what you want. You want a guy who's, you know, I had a teacher years ago that said something to me that stuck with me for the years. He said, always let your goal exceed your reach. And I think Coach Drinkwitz is what he's about, man. He's trying to get the program to places they've never been before. And it's evident by the new facility they're about to break ground and be because Missouri was the only school in the SEC that had a 70-yard indoor practice facility where everyone else had 120.
Moses, I apologize. I have to leave it here because we're out of time, but what a great call. Thank you for calling. We are coming back with much, much more.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.